If you have a hymn sheet on the back page, our children's songs, but if you give out another one, we'll sing that too. And if the one you're thinking of is not in here, and we know it, I think we'll get it figured out. Do you have a number?
44.
Number 44. Let's start with number 44.
Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay.
Song? Is that the one you're thinking of? Okay. Let's try that one.
ABC.
Thank you.
right. It's after 9:30. I'd encourage if there's any more children back there, we have a whole section available of seats. And it'd make me feel better if there were, if it was filled. Have more company up here. So if you're willing, you can come up front and sit. And I won't call on you unless you raise your hand. All right. Why don't we go ahead and sing another song if someone has. I don't think anyone's given it out from this section. Number one? Which one? On this? Okay. Number one. Meeting for children. Thank thee for them here in the front row, and we just pray that their hearts would be touched by thy word. Pray that no one would be putting off the accepting thee as their Savior, that there wouldn't be any almost persuaded. And so we just pray for help for this time and listening ears for the children too. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We have one more young man up here, and that's excellent. You know, I was thinking, can you just, we're going to stop singing just for a few minutes, and then maybe I'll have someone over here give a song. Thank you for all your choices. I'm thinking, when I go to work, the company I work for wants us to think about safety, and I appreciate that. They want us to work safe. You know what it is to be safe? Do things that won't get yourself hurt. Well, sometimes we sit down in a meeting, quite a bit different than this, but we'll be around a table. And they asked us if there's four or more people to do what's called a safety briefing. And what that is we remind ourselves things like someone will ask, or someone's in charge, and they'll say, where's the fire extinguisher? Nearest fire extinguisher. Where's the first aid kit? Where do we go if there's a fire and we have to leave this building? Where do we gather together? Who's going to call 911? So they ask those questions and someone needs to answer. Now I could do that here, but you know, there's something much more important than your safety. Your safety is very important. But something much more important than your safety. And I think you all know what that is. The salvation of your souls is more important than your safety. So I want to do a little brief
time here where we make sure we get out the gospel, because we don't know when the Lord's coming. So I am thinking of four verses. And you all have learned these as memory verses. So I'm going to start the verse, and you raise your hand if you know it, and help me finish it. Okay, you ready? For all have... Aaron?
Sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Very good. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Next verse. It is appointed. Any hands?
Unto a man once to die.
But after this?
But after this, the judgment.
Very good. So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many. Sin is upon us, but it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many. That's the solution. But what's next? The blood?
The blood of Jesus Christ.
His son?
His son cleanses us for all sin.
1 John 1:7. Excellent. Thank you. Okay. Last verse. What am I to do about it? What must I do to be saved? And they said, Marcus?
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Very good. Acts 16. That's salvation in four verses. You all know that very well. But have you acted upon it? If the Lord Jesus was to come this morning, would you be ready? Got a seat for you. All right. Someone from this section or this section have a song? Maybe we'll give someone else a turn, okay? If not, we can sing number two. Why don't we sing, it's a very nice song. Why don't we sing the first and last verse of number two? Thank you. Inviting us to come. Come now. Don't delay. All right. Maybe we have time for one more. 99? Let's see. If I remember right, is 99 whisper a prayer? Is that what you're thinking of? We'll give it a try.
whisper a
prayer in the
some time now to say verses, if we have volunteers to say verses. I know the verse that was in this week's Sunday school paper is pretty long. You don't have to say all of it. And of course, if you have another verse you've memorized, I'd welcome to hear that one as well. But I'd appreciate volunteers to say verses. Anyone want to start? I'll read the verse in the Sunday school paper. Maybe that'll get someone started. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Any volunteer to start with that verse or another one? I'm going to try taking this off and just...
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:18.
Thank you. Any more volunteers?
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:18.
Very good. Any more volunteers? Even?
He that believeth on him is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:18.
Very good. Anybody else? Other verse? You want to try it?
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already.
John 3:18. Someone else want to try? Do we have a volunteer down here? You want to try? No? All right. I don't think I would have at your age. Believe me, it's not easy to be up here speaking. You want a chair? Great. More kids. Okay, last call for verses. Anyone else think of a verse that they'd like to say? All right. Try and stand where I can see everybody. So, it's wonderful for you children to be here this morning. Wonderful for you to be here at the conference. I'm sure you children are having a really nice time. I see you playing together. eating together, running together, running and then eating together. That's great. But we've been here, and every day we've been having meetings, and I hope you're listening in the meetings. You know, I heard something in the first reading meeting that I thought, aha, that goes with what I wanted to speak about a little bit. Brother said, the New Testament is the text. That means it's full of words. The Old Testament is pictures. Anyone else hear that? New Testament has the words, and the Old Testament is pictures. You know, you children are learning to read at a certain age. And as you get older, well, the first books you read has maybe even less than a complete sentence and a big picture on it, right? And as you get older, at least this is my experience, the pictures got less and the words got more. Isn't that how it goes? The more you read, the less pictures there are. Well, if I take what was said in the reading meeting and I turn to the Old Testament, I haven't found a colorful picture in the Old Testament yet, literally speaking. But I'm going to ask the brother if he still says that's true. Eric, is that true? All right. Nick, would you agree with Eric? They say yes. I know Brother Robert did because he spoke for an hour on pictures. I think one of the pictures he said was Egypt is a picture of this world. You know, children, this may sound harsh, but this world doesn't have a use for children. They have other objectives. They want to see you grow up into something, but they really don't have much time for children. But what, you know the story of the Lord Jesus. He took a child. He said, suffer the children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. Another time, he took a child, set him in their midst and said, except ye have the faith of a little child. The Lord Jesus values you, little children. But let's get back to the pictures. I brought a coloring book with me, and I saw a nice picture in it. Can anyone tell me? I just wasn't to say that. I brought this. Can anyone tell me what they see?
Three flowers and a bird.
He sees three flowers and a bird. That was the answer I wanted. Everyone raise their hand if they see three flowers and a bird. The adults are playing as well. Thank you. You know, I don't actually see three flowers and a bird. This says goldfinch. I've never been this close to a goldfinch if it's a bird. These flowers, I can't smell them. I can't pull the petals on them. So it's a, I'm being a little bit too technical here maybe. It's a picture of three flowers and a bird. It's not an actual bird. It's not an actual flower. Not actual flowers. It's a picture of three flowers and a bird. Okay. So if no one had seen a bird or no one had seen a goldfinch, let me try to explain this a little bit. You show them this picture and say, this is like, this represents, this is similar to a goldfinch and three flowers. It's a picture. It describes it to us. That's what it is. And so when our brother said the Old Testament is full of pictures, it describes, it represents something in the New Testament. It's not completely accurate. It doesn't completely describe it, but it gives a very good representation. Well, I was hoping to take a picture, one of the pictures in the Old Testament, and display it a little bit more before you so that you may understand the story of in that Old Testament, but also what it represents. And I hope I can do it in an honorable way and in a way you can understand. All right. So, how many of your children like to go on a walk with your dad or your mom? I got a few. All right. I need 3 volunteers. Elliot, thank you for volunteering. Go ahead and come up here. Do I got one more? You want to come? All right. Girls got left out. Just a second. Go ahead, children. Let's go ahead and stand over there. Picture I wanted to display this morning is found in Genesis chapter 22. You're all familiar with that, I think. When we start talking about it, you'll see, you'll remember what it's about. You know, Abraham had a son. I'll give a little bit of background. Abraham had a son. I don't have just one son. I have 2 sons. But Abraham had to wait a long, long time for that son. In fact, he was 100 years old before he was given that son. And you know, that son meant everything to him. Because the promises were all to be, all the promises that were given to Abraham were going to be fulfilled in that son. And he had received that son from God. And he loved that son. And again, it meant everything to him. So I'm going to read the verses starting Genesis chapter 22. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early. Well, I told my son I may need a volunteer, so he was prepped. I love my son. Abraham loved his son. And Abraham was called to offer up his son for a burnt offering. Complete offering him up, his son was going to die. The Lord asked him to offer him up for a burnt offering. What an unimaginable thing as a father to be called to offer up your son. You know, Abraham, in years past, didn't always obey right away. It took him a while to learn obedience. It takes us a while to learn obedience. But on this instance, Abraham had walked with the Lord many years, and he obeyed right away. We say, see, he rose up early in the morning. Our hearts, we were told yesterday, our hearts are deceitful. If we wait when the Lord commands us to do something, we'll reason our way out of it. Abraham didn't wait. He knew his heart. He got up early in the morning and made preparation. Says he rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took 2 of his young men and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for a burnt offering. I have wood or what looks like wood. Can you carry that? Carry that. We're going to go on a walk. Anyone know how far of a walk they went on? Doesn't give us a distance. Let's start walking. So Abraham's walking along. He has two servants. You know, they walked a full day. And then the next day, they walked again. You think those steps of Abraham were fast? I don't know. But they certainly were heavy. You know what heavy steps mean? He had a burden he was carrying. He was on his way to offer up his son, his only son. If I surveyed the room, there would be no hands given up by every father in here. They wouldn't offer up any of their children. Abraham was called to offer up his son. And what a journey that was. 2 days. And if we read verse 4, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes. He looked up and he saw the place that the Lord had told him of, afar off. What a sight that must have been to see that place where he'd give up his only son. Okay. So Abraham said unto his young men, stay here. Me and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham took the wood and gave it to his son, laid the wood upon his son. You can go back to your seats. Thank you. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. So Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. He took fire and a knife, and they went, both of them, together. I didn't bring those two items. Figured you can imagine what that was. But they went, both of them, together. They journeyed a little bit, and again, Abraham's heart, no doubt, was heavy. Now it's just him and his son, and he has a heavy heart. And they're walking along together. And his son is thinking about things. As a side note, Elliot was asking, what's that box in our car for?
My father, behold.
Here am I, my son.
Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?
That's what Isaac asked. Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Something's missing in this picture. We have the knife, we have fire, we have wood, but where's the lamb? My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And then they came to the place. No more steps to make. They came to the place that the Lord had told Abraham of. And it says, he built an altar there, put the wood in order. Help me. Put those on that thing. I'm sure Isaac had seen altars before. And this is a very poor representation, but they built an altar. It's okay. It says he bound his son Isaac. Bound his son bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar of wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand to take the knife and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord steps in, calls, Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham says, here I am. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Go ahead, you can get down. And so, Isaac came down off the altar. And there was a lamb there, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham took that lamb and offered him up in place of his son. What a wonderful thing for Abraham to have that lamb to take his son's place. So, I told you, children, about pictures. I want to go back to the story that we weakly tried to demonstrate a little bit of what happened, and see if you can understand the picture that this story is of the real thing. That's what's most important here, is the real thing. This picture doesn't illustrate every detail, but the real thing, in short, is that God provided his son on Calvary's cross to die for your sins. You know, God, in a past eternity, with his son, Jesus, there was a question of who would pay the great debt. Who could be the propitiation for our sins? Who will go for us? And the verse says, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written, to do thy will, O God. So the Lord Jesus voluntarily came to do the Father's will, which would lead even to death. You know, Abraham walked 2 days and the third day with his son. Well, before we get to that, there came a time, too, nearly 2,000 plus years ago, that the Son of God became a man. You know, I had Elliot up here, and at one point, I took the wood from the two servants and I gave it to Elliot. He, that wood, speaks of the Lord Jesus becoming a man and walking down here as a man. He came as a man, and for 33 years, he walked, and every footstep led only to the cross. There was no other path for him but that which led to the cross. So he followed that pathway for 33 years. And they came to the place. You know, we read often about the story of Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus, it says, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. The thought of sin, being made sin, he was holy, spotless. I don't have a son like that. God had a son like that. Holy, spotless, without sin. No sin in him. And to be made sin was an awful thought. And he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's what he prayed to his father. But there was no other sacrifice that could be made than God's holy son, the Lord Jesus. And so it said, we read the verse, Abraham and Isaac, they went both of them together. The Lord Jesus said, "Here I am, send me." We read in 1 John, the Father sent the Son. They were one of one mind to go together to that altar. A little bit different than the story of Abraham and Isaac, but we still see it there. You know, when it came time, men crucified the Lord Jesus. They pounded the nails into his hands, his feet. They hung him on the cross. But that wasn't, I bound Elliot up, I put him there. But those nails, they didn't hold him to the cross. It was his heart of love. And then we read, for 3 hours, he was made a sacrifice for sins. How awful. The nails and all the suffering, we heard this last night, all the suffering at the hands of man was nothing compared to those 3 hours of darkness when he suffered for your sins and mine. In Isaac's case, we found a ram to be caught in a thicket and to be the substitute for Isaac being offered up. How wonderful that was for Abraham. But again, God's only beloved son, his only begotten son, there was no one to substitute for him. It says, he that spared not his own son. Here we had in Genesis 22, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So that was the story. That was the actual thing. God sending his son onto this earth to die for you and me, to make propitiation for our sins. But, you know, that isn't the end of the story, and we didn't finish the story with Isaac either. The next time we read about Isaac, there's a servant going after a bride for Isaac. And Isaac gets married. You know what? The Lord Jesus, he went into death. You all know this story very well. He rose again. And the Spirit is here, even working today, to find children, men, women, to be saved. And to be part of that bride. And there's coming a marriage. Will you be there? You can know all these things. You can know the gospel, those four verses of the gospel. But there's coming a marriage, and will you be there? He has sent out the invitation. Come. We read a song. Come. You have to accept it. It's not enough to just know the stories, know the pictures. We can all know that. We have to believe on him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Take him at his word. Have the faith, like Abraham did, to obey the call and come to him. Thank you, children, for listening. We're going to close with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, loving Father, we do thank thee. For thy Son, the Lord Jesus, we thank thee for his work on the cross and that it was complete, that he was made the propitiation for our sins. We pray that for these children, that they would understand and accept thee, believe on thee, and that they could say, he died for me. So we just thank thee for this time this morning, and pray for thy working in any hearts that are not yet thine. In thy name we pray. Amen.